Thank you. Well, this talk may be a bit of a segue away from biological control. The focus is on a crop weed. Giant ragweed is a native North American species, originally growing in riparian habitats. And in spite of the fact that it has very numerous natural enemies and a low reproductive effort with a lot of seed mortality, it has been increasing as a problem in crop fields in the last 30 years. It's an enormous weed. It causes very high yield losses. Part of the increase, no doubt, is related to the development of herbicide-resistant populations that have started to develop in the last 20 years to ALS-inhibiting herbicides and to glyphosate or to both. But the problems really started originating or increasing before then. So the focus of this study was to try to figure out what factors may be contributing to this increase in this native species, in spite of all of the biological control that it does receive. So some observations culled from the literature, and this is a bit of a synthesis from the literature. Giant ragweed is observed in a lot of upland habitats, such as fence rows and railroad sidings and that kind of thing. So it seems to have shifted from riparian habitats to upland habitats as well. That might be a factor in allowing it to exploit more environments through which to spread. Growers often report that it was a fence row weed at first, viewed only in fence rows, and then it appeared as a crop weed. So it seems like these populations in these successional edge habitats may be moving into crop fields. Problems with giant ragweed tended to appear in the eastern part of the Corn Belt first, and so is there anything special about giant ragweed growing in the eastern Corn Belt? It does have, populations do have two characteristics that may facilitate the spread. One is the prolonged emergence period, which is much longer than for giant ragweed growing in the successional habitats, and this could allow escape from early season weed control efforts. The second is an association with common earthworm or nightcrawler, Lumbricus terrestris, and this earthworm, which is abundant in agricultural fields, has collects large numbers of giant ragweed seeds and catches them in its vertical burrows. But the seeds are very vulnerable to predation by mice, and normally any seed left on the surface is consumed over the fall and winter months. So this association may help facilitate giant ragweed spread as well. We don't know how extensive that association is. In addition, while giant ragweed has been expanding, there have been shifts in crop production practices, an increase in soybean cultivation, reduced tillage, of course, the widespread adoption of herbicide-resistant crops, so more reliance on post-emergence herbicide use. What is giant ragweed response to these production practices? We don't have much information, but we do know that it is more competitive with soybean than it is with corn. So soybean cultivation could increase populations. There is some evidence that giant ragweed populations are greater in environments that receive an intermediate amount of tillage, intermediate between conventional and no-till, and this partial inversion of the soil by chisel or disc plow may put the seeds in an optimum position for their survival. With post-emergence herbicides, we speculate that perhaps increased reliance on these could select for late-emerging biotypes in giant ragweed, since they typically don't have a long residual activity in the soil. So to put these various hypotheses together, we hypothesize that giant ragweed problems increase with its abundance in non-crop habitats, a prolonged emergence period, the presence of this earthworm species, night crawlers, minimum tillage, soybean cultivation, and post-emergence herbicide use. To test these hypotheses, we wanted to collect information from a large geographic area. So we developed a questionnaire that was distributed to certified crop advisors in 15 U.S. states and in Ontario, Canada. And in this questionnaire, we asked them to pick the county that they were most familiar with in their state and to answer questions about giant ragweed and crop production practices. So this survey was conducted in 2013. With the data, we developed maps of the distribution to see the distribution of the various factors, and we conducted some correlation analyses to see if our what we think is contributing to giant ragweed is actually associated with increased populations. So first we'll look at maps of giant ragweed. And here we asked respondents when they first observed it in non-crop areas. And I think you can see through this on this map that giant ragweed was observed throughout most of the surveyed area more than 20 years ago. That's the dark red color. But it has appeared more recently in some of the counties around the edges of this of the surveyed area. In crop fields we observed a similar phenomenon, only more pronounced, with giant ragweed appearing earliest in the eastern part of the area and the central part around the Mississippi River Valley, has appeared more recently in counties around the periphery there. Giant ragweed of the abundance in non-crop areas again show this pattern of being more abundant in the central part along the Mississippi River and less abundant toward the peripheral areas. In crop fields that we observe that even in a more intensive way, with it being very heavily abundant in around the upper Mississippi River Valley and also in Ohio and Indiana in the eastern parts. So these data seem to confirm our observations that giant ragweed seem to appear first in the eastern part of the Corn Belt or the east central part of the Corn Belt and is spreading outward in essentially all directions. We asked participants to indicate whether there was resistant giant ragweed in their county. And in this map, this dark color indicates that there's resistance to ALS inhibiting herbicides, to glyphosate, and also to both herbicides. So multiple types of herbicide resistance within these dark colored counties. 57% of the counties that responded reported herbicide resistance. And in contrast to the previous maps that I showed, a lot of the resistance cases were reported west of the Mississippi, but then there was a concentration in the eastern states here where resistance was first reported. So quite a lot of area with resistant populations present. We asked how difficult it is to control or to manage giant ragweed, and the dark red indicates where it was rated as one of the most difficult weeds or the most difficult weed to manage, and it kind of coincidentally forms the letter R there for ragweed. That's the way I try to remember it. So it's most prevalent, again, along the Mississippi River, eastern Wisconsin, in the central parts of Illinois, or northern, and Indiana and Ohio. But there are pockets appearing that are difficult in central Iowa and in Missouri, and also even at the Tennessee-Arkansas border. The length of the emergence period was longer toward the east of the Mississippi River compared to the west in general. So that is consistent with research that others have reported. The amount of percentage of crop acreage with common earthworm present didn't show much of a pattern. The earthworm seems to be distributed across much of the area, but it does seem to be more abundant in this area near Iowa and northern Illinois, and also in central Ohio. Now we'll go to correlation. So here the strategy, the format that I will follow is that the factor that we hypothesize to be associated with giant ragweed is given at the top here, and then we use three responses as sort of a measure of the problems with giant ragweed. Its abundance in crop fields, how difficult it was to manage, and the presence of resistant populations. So here, we were interested in getting a handle on the various habitats that giant ragweed is found in across the Corn Belt. And the more riparian habitats are indicated with the light blue color, and the drier habitats, such as fence rows, railroad sidings, and roadsides, and so on, indicated by the pink color. So overall, we saw correlations of giant ragweed being present in those habitats, whether it was a riparian habitat or an upland habitat. So this kind of confirms our observations that it is adapted to upland habitats as well as to riparian. And an interesting result was on average, railroad populations and railroad sidings were associated most strongly with problems with giant ragweed. So these types of habitats may provide an especially effective means of either dispersing giant ragweed or perhaps dispersing invasive genes across the landscape. The percentage crop acreage of giant ragweed in non-crop habitats, its abundance in non-crop habitats was very highly correlated with how abundant it is in crop fields, so indicating that there's a close association between successional and agricultural populations, and was also correlated with other problems, difficulty and resistance. The emergence period, the length of the emergence period was most strongly correlated as well with the abundance of giant ragweed in crop fields, and also with the other with difficulty and to a lesser extent with resistance. The abundance of common earthworm was associated with the abundance of giant ragweed in crop fields, providing a little more evidence that these two species are associated across maybe a larger area than we have initially measured, but was not correlated with difficulty or with resistance. With tillage practices, we found positive correlations with minimum tillage practices. So as in this example, as percent corn acreage that received minimum tillage increased, the abundance of giant ragweed increased and its difficulty increased. And negative correlations with conventional tillage and no tillage. But overall, there were not many significant correlations. With crop rotation, we saw negative correlations in soybean fields. So that means that as the percentage acreage was rotated away from soybean, where soybean is grown, that resistance problems decreased. So that suggests that continuous soybean is associated with increasing giant ragweed problems. 2 minutes, okay, thanks. With herbicide application, multiple herbicide applications tended to be associated with increased giant ragweed problems, especially in soybean fields. So in summary, the data do support observations that giant ragweed seem to originate in the east central corn belt as a problem weed and is spreading in all directions outward from there. Either the abundance of giant ragweed and or problems associated with it are associated with its presence in non-crop habitats, its longer emergence pattern and common earthworm. And then continuous soybean, multiple application herbicide programs, and minimum tillage increase are associated with increased problems. Wheat had relatively few positive correlations. Sort of applying these results to recommendations, it seems very important to control or to manage giant ragweed in non-crop areas to reduce the risk of it migrating into crop fields and develop a more diverse rotation of crop species, tillage practices, and herbicide sites of action to provide better overall suppression and to select against late emerging species and resistant biotypes, late emerging biotypes. Also, incorporation of cereal grain may be advised based on these results to diversify a crop rotation. Thank you. I think I'm within the time limit.